This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey gang, I'm Kevin, and welcome back to another episode of A Tiny Revolution. Reason we're a day late is because I'm trying this new thing out with Restream, where I am recording the conversations I'm having with my friends, and then posting those in addition to just the podcast, because, you know, multiple streams, trying to get this shit out there more. And so, you know, we just took an extra day to get it out here. But I'm excited to bring you this conversation with my friend, Sarah Jane Case. She's the writer and creator of the Honest Enneagram. She's an Enneagram host. She hosts an Enneagram summit every year that I've been a part of twice. It's super fun. And today in the conversation, we really get into, A, what the hell is the Enneagram for people who have never heard of it? And maybe if you've escaped the latest, you know, when progressive Christianity almost converted to the Church of Enneagram, you know what I'm saying? Anyways, but like one of the things like I love to bring up is that the Enneagram is not a tool to show you who you are, but to show you the ways that you get caught up. And Sarah Jane Case is an expert in this field and really uses the Enneagram, and she'll talk about this too, to show how to like, oh, you thought you had to do that. You thought you had to be this way. So for me, being an Enneagram 8, you thought you had to be angry all the time. You thought that you had to be hard and like defend yourself all the time. So the Enneagram showed me, yeah, those are my tendencies. Those are the ways I get caught up. And also, this is the ways that I can learn to be soft with myself. So I'm really pumped to share this conversation with you. So I hope you enjoy it. Before we get into that, a couple of announcements that if you're listening to this when this comes out on October 6th, we're having a little new moon ritual tonight. You can click the link in the bio to go there. Or maybe if I figure out how to do cards on YouTube, maybe one will pop up, maybe. This Saturday also, The Crowded Table, which is the amazing online community that I host on Patreon and curate on Patreon. We're having a Saturday gathering at 10 a.m. Pacific and 10 a.m. Pacific, 1 p.m. Eastern time. And we're just going to get together. We're going to have some music. We're going to have some time of reflection. Because I'm trying to, we're experimenting right now. We're seeing what feels good. And so you can expect some delicious music. You can expect some meditation and some prayer. You can expect a sermon, because I love preaching. So you can catch that right here on, if you're watching this on YouTube, if you're listening to this in the podcast, you can go over to YouTube and check that out. And if you're curious about The Crowded Table, both like as like an online community and what it could look like for you to join that, you can just go to patreon.com/thekevingarcia and learn. Because not only, you know, are you supporting this podcast and this YouTube channel and making more content accessible for queer people of faith the world over, but you're also, girl, you're helping pay my bills. And that's real helpful, let me tell you. But along with like helping pay my bills, you're also engaging with new community. You're getting to meet people who are on the same exact life journey as you are, probably deconstructing and reconstructing. And if you found your way into my corner of the internet, maybe you're a little woo-woo, maybe you're a little like witchy-wah, maybe you love Jesus, but you don't want to call yourself a Christian anymore. Whatever it is, you're welcome at The Crowded Table. So please go over to patreon.com/thekevingarcia and you can join us there. I think that's all the announcements for this week. I love you, and let's get into the show. This is my conversation with my friend Sarah Jane Case. I just woke up from a nap literally 60 seconds ago.
Yay, I love that for you.
I feel very good. I feel very refreshed and still like got a little of the sleepies in my eyes, but we're working through it. And I'm just so pleased I get to see you.
Yeah, you too. And I am pleased that you took a nap. That makes me feel so happy.
Listen, the rest game is the only game I play now. It's the game
of inspiration.
It's like, because literally like it was like a quarter till and I'm like, I just need 10 minutes. I just need 10 minutes. And man, it's a gift. Anyways, we're here to talk about you and your work and your life because you're Sarah Jane Case. You are the curator of the Enneagram and Coffee Instagram Chanel. You are a writer, a summiteer, like creator of summits. And I also want to know, like, how do you introduce yourself to people these days?
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I think you did a better job than I do. I would say author of an Honest Enneagram and host of the Enneagram and Coffee podcast. Those are the two. Yeah, human, trying to figure it all out.
Mm-hmm. And we kind of got connected because of like Enneagram stuff. And what I think is really interesting is that like, I think there, I don't know, like if like where, I don't know where the conversation around the Enneagram is these days. Cause like my toolbox is just continuing to expand. And I think that like, anyway, for someone who maybe doesn't even know what an Enneagram is, and they'll say like an Enneagram, what's that? tell me about how you got into the Enneagram and like, how do you define the Enneagram anyways?
Yeah. So, you know, my current definition is that the Enneagram gives us 9 unique things we thought we had to be our whole life, right? So it's like this picture into, you thought you had to be strong. You thought you had to be happy. Oh, you thought you had to be perfect. Like this kind of invitation into, what if you didn't have to be that? What if you get to just be like whatever you happen to feel to be at this moment, and you're free to express yourself in whatever way. And so that's kind of how I think of it. It's essentially a personality typing test. It's broken down into 9 distinct types. However, the major difference, right, is it tells you who you thought you had to be, the behavior, like why you're doing what you're doing instead of just the actions that you're taking. And so I found it like most of us do. I think someone saw my type pattern in what I was doing or saying, and they were like, whoa, have you heard of the Enneagram? Mm-hmm. And I'd like for you to know your type.
It's like, I'm really curious to know like how you move through the world with the Enneagram, because you're driving me insane and I need to figure out why.
And so I took the test. I typed as an Enneagram 2 and loved that because I was like, I am so warm and loving.
That's
and like
so kind.
I'm like so self-sacrificing. And then I read the Enneagram type 7 description and I was like, oh, okay, that's me. That's like, it honestly felt like someone had written my journals out and followed me around and documented my life, and creeped me out, but also felt delightful. And I second guessed myself a lot. It took me like 2 years to kind of come back to 7 and to really own that. And in that journey, I discovered all of the types. I was coaching at the time, so I was seeing it in my clients, and I was like, whoa, these patterns are so fascinating and so interesting and help us to go deep so much more quickly.
Because like I'm in the same boat. Like a lot of the people I work with, they have like the Enneagram, like they have that in their tool belt coming in. So it's like, I don't even got to unpack that, which is really fun for me. I'm just like, if you're aware of this pattern, cause I think this is, I don't know, like, cause like I will say for myself, coming from Christian world, like where like we tend to like grab onto systems that work and really like institutionalize them in some way. I feel like over the past, like less so now maybe, but just like there was a good minute where the Enneagram, like it was like the gospel of the Enneagram was the thing. And I remember so many people making excuses for their bad behavior based on their Enneagram type. And I'm like, girl.
Yes. And like that culture too, around there's a right way to do it and a wrong way to do it. Mm-hmm. And you're failing if you do it this way, or you're a good person if you do it this way. And like this, like energy, like we can make anything a religion if we want to. And people do it with the Enneagram all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's really about like the Enneagram's just this map. It's like, hey, look, here's some information. Here's a map of like some growth you can do. Mm-hmm. And then like, it's up to you how you decide to use it. There's no like failing at the Enneagram. There's no like,
and there's also no winning either. You know,
yeah, there's no sinning either.
Hello.
Like, it's just like you can't mess it up. It's just your journey. It's your growth. And that's your timing.
Yeah. And I think like someone, I can't remember who said it, but just like the Enneagram shows you where you're getting caught up. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily who you are, but just like, it just shows you like, for me, like discovering the Enneagram, I started off thinking I was a 7 because I just love fun and moving around and doing all the things. And then my friend, like we're driving from like a boba tea place, and he hands me Richard Rohr's text, the Christian perspective. And he said, you should flip to the part like on eights. And as I was reading it, it was like the same experience as you, just like, oh no, someone seen what I've been doing. And it really just like, it kind of like at first, like it really does like, I think it's very interesting how the initial reaction to being seen at first is fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and I think sometimes with the Enneagram especially, it's so innate, right? Like it's ultimately our coping mechanisms. Like this is how we've survived. Mm-hmm. And it's just second nature sometimes to where when it's pointed out to us as this thing that doesn't always serve us, isn't always working for us, it mm-hmm. feels like, but that's what I know. Like that's the thing I know. And how did you know I was doing that? It just feels like really intense. And I think for a lot of us, we think that's the good way to be. Like, well, this is what a good person does. A good person like fights. Mm-hmm. A good person like stands up for themselves, or a good person thinks positively against all odds, you know? And mm-hmm. and like also, yeah, sometimes that's great. Sometimes that's our greatest asset and our greatest strength. And then sometimes it's not working for us. And sometimes when used in the wrong context or used too much or too hard, too mm-hmm. often, it's not serving us and serving our relationships.
Ding dong. Because that's really what it comes down to, is like, you got like, and I think that's really the tool, is like, at least for me, I also saw the pattern of just like how when I was typing people left and right, once I discovered the Enneagram, to like say, oh, you're this way for sure. And then like, rather than I was like, okay, let me, you know, it's like when people hear that I'm a Scorpio, I'm just like, listen, I know Scorpios get a bad rap. Mm-hmm. For so many reasons, but I'm not an asshole because I'm a Scorpio. Mm-hmm. I'm an asshole sometimes because I have a traumatic childhood growing up. It's different, you know?
Right. And I think that, I love that you said that, because when we turn the Enneagram into just like, you're such a number, like you're such a 6 or you're such a 7, like what we're doing in that moment is we're losing our compassion, mm-hmm. right? Like, and I've been there. I will probably be
Guilty.
There again sometime.
Guilty.
Yeah, 100%. Even with myself, even to myself. But if we use it for its language, right? If we come in and we go, mm-hmm. well, what if I describe what being such a 7 means right now? It's like, mm-hmm. You learned that like no one's going to look out for you. So only you can look out for yourself. And you're terrified of being trapped in emotional pain, because when in your childhood, you went through so much that you learned how to be happy, even in the spite mm-hmm. of deep emotional pain and neglect. Oh, mm-hmm. yeah. Yeah. You're hurting, little one. Like you're hurting. Yeah.
What's the journey for you been like, as I don't know, like, you know, because you've like, you work with this shit all the time. It's so up close. Mm-hmm. So like for you, what is a personal practice of, I mean, I guess like, what are your personal practices around like keeping yourself centered and grounded?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I will go back to real quick, just that the Enneagram as a map, because I like that you said, what are your practices? Because the Enneagram isn't the practice, right? Like the Enneagram is the map of what the practices should be for me. So, as a 7, I have like the tendency to stay really busy, to fill my time. I have a hard time sitting with negative emotions. Mm. I struggle to go deep with people if I don't trust them to be light with my pain. And so my practice has been crying on the floor.
Yeah. That's it.
And like letting it happen and letting someone, like letting my husband see me there. Mm. And not just doing, not what I used to do is like go to the bathroom and cry, wipe my eyes, wash my face and go out and no one ever knew. And like letting him be there with me, letting him support me. Mm-hmm. And then I am just this week. So I feel kind of like an imposter saying like, I do this, but I started this week. I'm very proud of myself. Just time of doing nothing. So yes. I'll go out on the porch. Yes. And I just set a timer, like an analog. I have like an analog timer and I set it the first day for 5 minutes and did nothing. The second day for 7, we're up to 12 minutes now. And it's like, yeah, I don't have to meditate. That's mm-hmm. the other thing is like, I can get really good. I can meditate well, right? Like I can still get kind of accomplishy about mm-hmm. a meditation, but sitting still in silence like that is so soothing to my nervous system. And it lets me be like, oh, I can move slower than I think I have to. I can mm-hmm. be here in this moment. My mind can wander and it can come back. It can slow down and I can just be in my body in this like actual moment. Mm-hmm. Sevens, a lot of us do this. Sevens, we like live in the future. We're like, what's next? What's coming up next? All of my joys in the future. The happy place is the here and now. Like, how can I appreciate the mm-hmm. good that's here instead of thinking about the good that's to come? And so that's definitely one of my major practices. Mm. I'm also trying Qigong.
Yeah, you better move that energy around your body. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just trying out.
For someone who doesn't know Qigong, like, just basic definition.
Oh, I don't know if I'm qualified. I can say... but it is basically just moving energy through your body. You kind of do like tapping movements mm-hmm. and motions that you do that kind of get your energy flowing. And I think of it as like getting your blood circulating because I'm not very spiritual in that way. But it just kind of like moves some shit around.
Let me tell you what, like whether it's literally if it's me moving my mental energy and my focus around the body or whether it's actual like, you know, the magical dust of the universe, I don't really give a fuck anymore.
Right.
Like
right.
that's my deal. I'm just like, I can't tell you what's actually happening. I can only tell you how it makes me feel.
Yep. Yeah. Same. And Qigong feels good. It feels real good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love that you were saying like the practice of silence is very hard, especially modern world, especially like, you know, when everybody's timer is their phone and their everyone's alarm clock mm-hmm. is their phone and everybody's everything. Mm-hmm. So being able to, I don't know, like to slow down, like I didn't learn how to be still, like probably until like because first time we had a talk, like it was pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think your book was just getting ready to launch and whatnot. And so I bet like, at least for me, like I had to learn how to be with myself and not mm-hmm. only be with myself, but enjoy being with myself. Otherwise, like I was going to die. It was like, especially in isolation, mm-hmm. that practice of being still and just listening mm-hmm. to your breath or nothing. Mm-hmm. Incredible.
Yeah. It wasn't until the pandemic that I was able to like actually stay home all day by myself. Mm-hmm. I had like never done that. I'd never Same. Gotten comfortable doing that. And then I was like, oh, this is actually feels really good. I feel calmer and happier and more at ease. Mm-hmm. Like it could have been this simple the whole time, but I was so, I don't know, like, I know this, what the Enneagram says it is. Mm-hmm. It's like, you're so scared of feeling all of your emotions that you don't want to be at home. But mm-hmm. I just felt like I had to constantly be doing or entertaining or everything that I do had to have a reason behind it.
Mm-hmm. I also relate to like, I like the feeling of, I want to get out of the house. I think mm-hmm. in some ways there's this, that's the capitalism talking. It's like, you got to go out and accomplish something and mm-hmm. go somewhere, like go to the co-working space and do the work there. And I'm like, I could. And, mm-hmm. But like, especially like, I remember when everything set in and I was living on campus at my grad school in this tiny ass apartment by myself I didn't have my dog at that point. Like, I didn't realize like how I was just not addicted to people, but I had never had to do it really by myself. And that was the space that kind of just like kicked it and was like, okay, if I want to feel better, I have to take responsibility for my own, I have to take responsibility for myself. What a concept, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think like, some of us, you know, if we think of Enneagram terms, mm-hmm. like 3s, 7s, and 8s, we're assertive. We like to take action. We're forward thinking. Mm-hmm. Action is not our problem. Like we can get things done, mm-hmm. but like, slowing down, being present, mm-hmm. being comfortable with stillness and rest, that takes practice. Like that's our practice. And mm-hmm. for other types, it's taking action, putting themselves out there, being seen. That's not our problem. Mm-hmm. You know, we have to like work out that other muscle of like being still, being here.
Yeah. So again, this is a good question. And I guess like for me, like, cause I tend to work with a lot of, I don't know what it is about fours coming to me. I have a lot of four clients. They come in all the time.
I love a four.
I love a four too. Also, all of my ex-lovers have been fours. And so it's just like, my theory is eights have trouble feeling things. So who better to learn feelings from than someone who cannot stop feeling everything? And a four, like, you know, like lives in the fantasy and like who to learn better how to get shit done than somebody who cannot stop getting shit done.
Yeah. And fours look for a rescuer. They're looking for someone to come in and save them and to take care of things. And ooh, eights are good at that. It really it's like the perfect feeding for each other's mechanisms for sure.
For everyone's ego. Cause I know that I have like, I love being the rescuer. I love being right. I like, it's like, yeah. And everyone like will applaud me for that. That's the problem. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. It's like, girl, you got to save yourself first.
That's the thing is like with the Enneagram too, is we essentially have trained everyone in our lives to like us for these things. Like, oh, everybody in my life, like looks to me to be the positive one, looks to me to be happy and to see opportunity. Everyone's looking for you to be the one who can handle it, who can take care of things, who's going to speak up. And it's like we're having to retrain the people who are around us mm-hmm. to get comfortable with like, well, yeah, sometimes I'm going to take a nap and like you're going to get a hold of me. I'm not going to be there for you in that moment. Or sometimes like I'm going to cry on the floor and you're going to hold me and tell me it's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And like it's an adjustment for all of us.
Yeah. I'm hoping that's the way that just community will continue to move. Mm-hmm. I think that we're finally recognizing that capitalism and celebrity is not really serving us anymore. And that mm-hmm. just because you have a follower count doesn't mean that you're necessarily a healthy person at all or somebody who's worthy of being followed. Because I'm really starting to see like the people who I am following and getting to know is like the people who are slowing down. The people like I am starting to do way less because I was just thinking, should I do a whole retreat? I'm like, no, because you're launching a cohort right now. Maybe you should do one thing at a time. Silly goose. Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I took an Instagram sabbatical this summer and like four of my friends were doing it at the exact same time. Mm-hmm. It's like, we all just like got off Instagram all at the same time. Like there's something moving mm-hmm. where it's like, we're all just, what does it feel like to be here? What does it feel like to not be on our phone? Mm-hmm. What does it feel like to be in our life and in this moment?
Yeah. I'm thinking I need to, that would be a delicious time to see, especially I think once the, I'm going to experiment with this idea because if I have my cohort all squared away for the winter, then like I can take like a month off and not. Ooh, wow. I just got really excited. November, you're not going to, I don't know if y'all are going to see me on the internet in November. That might be really nice.
I love this.
Holy shit. This is actually a really good idea. You heard it here first, everyone. I'll probably like, if any, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I want to hear.
Oh, I was just, you know, I was about to just like keep on jawing on about nothing probably.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that that's like some healthy ape shit right there. Yeah. That's some like, yeah, that, I mean, that's it.
Mm-hmm. And all like, I feel very lucky because now we're all kind of getting to the point where it's just like, at least like a couple years ago, it was like all about building the brand. And I'm like, you guys, I think I had it wrong. you know? This is like, I think,
yeah.
In fact, like, I know I had it wrong. It's like, we're just, I'm finding much more peace and joy in the fact that I'm just, I can say no when I need to and build space out for people. Like, that's more fun to me than the numbers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think for me, for so long, it was like, what am I building? What am I building? What am I building? And then there was like a switch this year that went off that was like, wait, why am I doing this? Who, like, what, who are the people behind this? What is the goal here? Am I working just to work, or am I working to live the life that I want to live? And am I working to heal, you know, heal people in these certain ways? Like, I want to make sure that I'm not just like, I'm supposed to post 5 days a week, so I'm posting 5 days a week. I want to like actually be posting things that I think will like help people, mm-hmm. support people, and like remember that there's humans back there, mm-hmm. That I'm making all of this shit for.
Yeah. And I think I also, I was in the same way. I'm like, I don't want to just produce for the sake of, like, it's something I think about, like, it's like, yeah, if you want to do this kind of work on the internet, and this is also like, you know, where you're going to find your people or your group. Sometimes like the rhythm and the discipline is not my favorite word. Well, like, I guess like for some, the things that I don't like, I call it discipline. For the things I love, I call it devotion.
I love that.
So just like, it's like social media is a discipline that I have to keep up with, you know, where I'm like, all right, like, mm-hmm. and it still to this day makes me mad that I can spend 2 minutes on just like a post. I did posted me with some eyeshadow on and I'm just like, genderqueer idea. Here you go. And that one's blowing up, and the one before that was like, I really thought about this, really deep thought. Nothing. Yeah. It blows me the fuck away every time.
I know. I don't understand the algorithm. It doesn't make sense to me. I'm just going to, eventually I was like, you know what? I'm just going to keep showing up, mm-hmm. and we'll see. I tried Reels and Instagram didn't want me to do Reels. It told me no.
They told me no too. They're like, no Reels for you. And it just, and the people who do TikTok, like, that's a world. Like, I have friends who like are like, that's their biggest platform, is they have like 24,000, mm-hmm. 50,000 people like engaged on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how?
I know. I've officially become old.
This is how we know.
This is how we know. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 'Cause you're what? Like, we're both like early 30s, right?
I'm 35.
I'm going to be 32 in a couple months. Mm-hmm. And I also noticed, like, over the pandemic, like, I didn't drink a whole lot of alcohol over the course of pandemic. So, like, that was not my problem. Mine was smoked a lot of weed, you know, still am. So, like, whether it's a problem or not, you know, look at the bank account. You tell me. Ayo. You know. But I promise that this had a point to it. What was it? I don't know. Okay, so I want to know, for you, as the book has been out, as you have, you know, evolved as a woman on the internet and also just as a woman in real life, because like, I feel like what I've noticed in you is like, you seem really grounded. You seem like very comfortable in your body. What do you think, like, how have you changed since, like, even the book's been published, and how, like, has your work mm-hmm. changed since you started?
Yeah, thank you. I will say that quarantine shifted me significantly, and I went through, like, a big loss last year. Like, my dad passed away, took his own life, and, like, that was, like, yeah, I mean, that's it. That's, like, fuck. And, mm-hmm. That threw me into the depths of like, oh, we're going to feel this. We're going to go here. Mm. And so I think in that, honestly, I think that was the major turning point, was like, quarantine slowed me down, because mm-hmm. I was like deeply quarantined. And then that happened with my father, and that like mm-hmm. threw me into the throes of grief. And I think in that grief, like, that kind of pulled that seven energy of like, I'm okay. Everything's okay. Everything's good. And really just like forced me into like, well, let's look at this. Mm-hmm. Let's go in here and like feel your feelings and think about how you felt about your dad's life and his death and like mm-hmm. your life and your inevitable death.
Listen, nothing will get you more. Nothing will get you more sober about the fact that your time is limited, like mm-hmm. the death of a parent. And mm-hmm. I lost my dad 3 years ago, and mm-hmm. I think you probably got real clear too. It's just like my dad died at age 59, and so I'm mm-hmm. like, wow. I'm 31. If like heaven forbid, I only have that mm-hmm. much time on the earth, like what have I been doing?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think for me, it was just like a lot, like the answer to that, like, I was like, is this the life I want to be living? Is this the kind of content I want to be creating? Is this like the impact I want to leave? Like, cause I had to think about like, what was my dad's legacy? And like, he had a lot of shit, you know? And so, his legacy isn't what I want my legacy to be. So I had to think like, what do I want to leave behind? If I am dust, like, what is the change I'm gonna leave on people? And like, yes, I enjoy creating like fun, playful content, but like, what if I healed people instead? What if I not mm. that I'm healing anyone, but like I'm a part of their journey to right. healing, part of their journey to like releasing shame and releasing pressure to like perfect themselves constantly. Mm. And if I could just see them in their most vulnerable form and then love them there, like that's kind of how it shifted.
Mm. That's it. And that, like, mm-hmm. I think, like, what if I healed people instead? Like, that's really, like, I think there's a shift. And then this is maybe also something me and Jamie Lee Finch were talking about this too. That, like, I feel like there is, like, a whole conscious collective of just, like, oh, this is not just about, playing the capitalism game. You know, I think a lot of us at first, like, we were, like, really happy that what we were doing was, helping people while still paying the bills. And now I think it's almost reversed. I'm just like, you know, the bills will take care of themselves one way or the other. If my mm-hmm. priority can be my personal health, like when I prioritize my health and my well-being, mm-hmm. everything else fell into place. Mm-hmm. And I think that was the big thing for me is like, I don't go out late night no more. Like, you know, that's just not every now and again. But let me tell you what, the one time I did go out, I had like five honking glasses of rosé, and I woke up the next day with heartburn from hell because all that sugar. I'm like, is this the life I want to live right now at age 31? No, I don't. But like the prioritization of personal health and not just like physical health, but like, I think like spiritual creative health of just like, I don't want to do anything I don't want to do anymore. Like mm-hmm. Taxes. Okay, fine. I'll do that if I have to, but the last president hasn't paid any taxes. So I'm just like, I'm fine.
Yeah. I mean, like even that we can figure it out.
Yeah. but I think like, that's what I've noticed for a lot of people is like, we're no longer willing to sacrifice our health for capitalism anymore. Mm-hmm. We're no longer like willing to sacrifice our own self-development while we're trying to develop other people.
Right. And I think that's a big thing when I'm getting geared up to write a second book and
second book.
Yeah. Yes! I'm excited. And I think like the process I've had to acknowledge, like if I'm going to write, I have to live, right? Because I can't write from from no inspiration, right? I have to like pause. I have to go look at things. I have to experience things just to have anything to possibly say. And I think it's the same thing for healing. Like if I'm not actively in the process for healing, then like, where's my healing energy going to come from? Like at some point mm-hmm. we're just making online courses, but we're not like, there's a difference Ooh. Between an online course that's aligned and an online course that's like actually intended. You're thinking about who are these people? How am I transforming them? How can I support them? How am I guiding them? Mm-hmm. Versus I'm going to charge this much money. I'm going to get this many people in the door. And then this is going to be my marketing mechanism. That's a completely different energy. And mm-hmm. we can do both. And there's nothing wrong with either of those, in my opinion. You can mm-hmm. do either of them. One of them feels really good. Mm-hmm. And is more supportive to you and to others. And the other one, it's a lot more stressful and a lot, it's a lot less aligned and a lot less connected.
Yeah. And it's like, I feel so much of what you're saying is like, neither one of these things is necessarily wrong, because at the end of the day, we're all in the clutches of capitalism. We all are trying to pay our bills. And I think we live under this illusion and have been living under the illusion for so long that the hustle was the only way to make it work. And the hustle burns us out. The hustle, like you said, just like trying to be good, trying to be the best versions of ourselves, rather than realizing that the best version of yourself is the one who is right here talking, the one who is listening to this right now, the one who is breathing. That's the best version of you. And whether or not you believe that, it does not change the fact that you are. And that, that changes everything.
Yeah. Like, what if like you're fine? What if like right now in this moment, like you're totally okay? There's nothing to work on. There's nothing to fix. You're good. Mm-hmm. You're fine. Everything's fine. Like, that feels scary for some reason.
I think because for those of us who grew up with any, like, if you grew up in America in the 21st century, like, you have some kind of like residual trauma, either from culture, from religion, or something. We all have something like that. And like, for those of us who have trauma like that, peace sometimes feels like a trigger. You know, it's just to like the trigger of, let me get ready. Let my body tense up again. Let my breath get shallow, because I gotta get that oxygen in the bloodstream. Like, we don't know the difference between like, you know, the bear in the woods and a bill on the table, you know?
Yeah. And like, is it okay to feel this much good? Is it okay to feel this rested, this happy, this safe? Like, what's going to happen? Like, I need to constantly know where the threat is coming from and prevent it from happening, so that I don't get caught off guard or something. But what if you're just in your body right now, there's like a lot of joy there. There's a lot of good, like, wherever you're listening, to a podcast right now, like, you're probably okay.
Ding.
You're okay
dong,
right now.
Y'all.
You're safe. You're safe. Like, right here, right now, you're safe.
What is so interesting is that if one can recognize that where you are is right here and now, and really the thoughts you're having, like the feeling you have, like, something Course in Miracles says is that, you're like, if you are in distress, or you are in, you know, if you're having like, you know, anytime you are lonely, anytime you are separated, anytime you're feeling like really shitty about yourself, you've just merely forgotten who and where and what you are. Like, if you can remember, like, the past is over, it can no longer touch me. If you can be reminded that you've always figured out it's like, if I try to live in the future, you can't get from there to there from there. You got to get to there from here. You're here. And that recognition of this holy instance, like, it's almost like, if I can get really here, I can see how it expands outward, both to the past and to the future, of just like, I've never like, and now we're getting real woo woo. And like, I really like it myself, but it really is like, my question I love to ask people is like, whatever the thought is, who would you be if you didn't have that thought? You know, who would you be without, I have to be good, I have to be perfect, I have to be strong, I have to be secure, I have to be sure? You know, who would you be without that?
Yeah. And honestly, when we think kind of Enneagramming about it, like, if we think about like, okay, we have this, we've ultimately created the ultimate shield, right? Like, this like perfection is our shield against our most vulnerable self. It's the shield against who we would be without that thing. And so, as we know, like, any shield, we're putting it up to protect ourselves from harm, right? Like, so, okay, my joy is how I prevent myself from feeling pain. But it's also like, it's the very thing that's preventing me from experiencing love for the depths of who I am, right? If I'm loved for this persona, if I'm loved for this like shield of myself, then I'm loved for the shell of myself. Like, I'm not actually being loved in the deepest core. And that's why so many of us have these relationships where we feel alone, and we feel like, how can I be in this relationship and still feel alone. It's like, well, you're getting love just for like what you tell them they get to love you for. You're getting love for like how you help them. You're getting love for how you take care of them or how easy you are to get along with. But what if you let them love you for your difficulty, if you let them love you in your pain, or you let them love you in your weakness, like that's where it's going to integrate into your system. And it's for self-love too. Like if I only love myself and I'm happy, I don't love myself enough. Right? Like I don't love myself. It's not unconditional. It's completely conditional. But if I can love myself through the shield into like the little gooey bits behind the shield that are in pain, that are hurting, who want to writhe, who threw a candlestick once because she was pissed, like she still deserves love. That version of her still deserves love. And like that, so I think when we think about the Enneagram or any kind of coping mechanism, it's like, are we letting people love us beyond it? Or are we asking them to love us for this like tiny sliver of a shell of who we can be?
The thing I remember one time I was sitting in a circle of people. I think it was super churchy. I had actually started a house church and it was like pretty like, you know, we had like 30 people. We were decently successful. And I was talking about how mad I was at, you know, our old church who like didn't have space for us. And my friend Travis looked at me and says, like, Kevin, I know you hate to hear it, but you are best when you are soft. You are best when you are letting us know how frustrated you are and how mad you are, instead of thinking that you have to be strong and thinking you have to be righteous. And that's like, I think my biggest problem for myself is like, I think I always have to be the guru, if you will, or I have to be the one who's enlightened and happy and in my highest self all the time. And like, I like being there. I enjoy being there. It's easy for me to be there. But it can ignore the reality of my body. And I can't do that. You know, that's what capitalism teaches us to do. It's just like, don't feel bad. Just keep doing this thing and you'll feel better. I'm just like, it's not like the body holds on to shit. And if you don't, what I learned for myself is if I don't let my body, if I don't let him feel whatever he's feeling, it doesn't matter if it's valid or not. A valid feeling, it's just like, is it there? Does it exist? It is valid. You're allowed to feel anything you want. And then you can also like get curious, like, what's causing this? Am I believing something that's untrue? And also right after, like, I think like we don't actually experience the peace that comes after it until we acknowledge it.
Yeah. I think that's in, I wonder, you know, my husband went to a retreat that Hillary McBride led, I think it's called a Ken retreat with everybody. And when he came back, I was just frustrated one day. Like he and I were at a coffee shop and we were just I was frustrated and I couldn't figure out why. And we were like walking to lunch and he was like, what's going on? And I was like, I honestly don't know. Like, I just feel frustration and I don't let myself feel frustration. I feel so much shame and guilt when I feel negative emotions. So I was kind of like, I was wrestling with it, trying to figure it out, trying to solve it. And he was like, well, where do you feel it in your body? Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, I immediately knew what it was. Like the coffee shop was cold. He went outside and let himself feel the sun on his skin. And I was jealous. I was jealous. Because I didn't give myself that same permission. I felt like I have to stay in here and like do this thing, push through this difficulty. And you get to just go out there and like feel the sun on your skin.
How dare you?
How unfair. Yeah. But it's like, he listened to his body. He let himself have that moment of pleasure. And then like by him pointing me back to my body, I was like, oh, that's that simple. Like,
yes.
And I can like, just let myself like, yeah, I was jealous. Like poor, like, oh, why did I think I had to suffer like
isn't,
that? That's not mine to carry.
And when we look at ourselves, like there is a statue like in somewhere in Southeast Asia called the Buddha of Unbearable Compassion. And it's got smile of unbearable compassion. It's just a statue of the Buddha just going, just looking at, just like, oh, it's okay. And that to me is like, for me, that is like the energy of, because I'm a woo-woo. I'm like, that's the Christ energy. That's the universe energy. That's the love. That's completion. That's spirit of that, of like the recognition of, why did I think I had to suffer? You know, there's so much suffering that's going to happen. It's like pain is inevitable. you know, there's going to be pain in life because it sucks. And, you know, the world is a world. And there is so much of the suffering that I can choose to, it's not even bypassing it. It's just choosing to give it up. It's like, I think I have to suffer for some reason. Like, we were tricked. And somewhere in like the narrative is just like, I think I was taught that I deserve to suffer. And we don't.
Yeah. No, we don't. And we can, and when we do, we can love ourselves there. We can just be like, it's okay. That hurts. And that's all right. And I think so for so long, like, I think I tried to bypass the pain. So therefore I was bypassing my compassion because it was like, I was so fixing oriented and like, I'm going to solve this. I'm going to fix this. And then when I quit trying to fix it, which I'm not perfect at, some days I'm good at it, some days I'm not, moment to moment, really, it's, I can look at it and say, okay, we're not going to fix you. We're just going to feel you. And it's okay that you're here. That's so much easier.
It's like, people, like when I'm teaching meditation, people is like, I'm just trying to like drop these thoughts or get rid of these thoughts. I'm like, no. You can't. Thoughts are phenomena. They come out of nowhere. They go back to nowhere. And so if you can meet whatever it is, whatever feeling or thought with love and understanding, it will release you. That's what Byron Katie says about the work. It's just like, you meet every single thing, no matter what it is, no matter how petty or weird, or no matter how shameful you feel about it. You meet that with love and compassion, it will heal, like it will heal itself, because that's the antidote. And then also you notice, like, I just think for myself, whenever something goes down, I just think, oh, of course I would do that. And rather than like, oh, of course I would do that, like with like a mean tone, it's more like, well, yes, of course, like you lived for 24 years hiding yourself and your feelings and your emotions while you were in the closet. You only really started getting honest about 5 years ago. So relatively speaking in your life, you have less practice. So of course you would slip up or go back or like fall into this old pattern. That's your pattern. And what would you like to do next?
Yeah. And you have a lot of evidence that it worked for you, you know? So then we're learning new evidence for ways that other things work for you, but there's some evidence that's
the
works.
Thing too, is like, look at the data. Look what these, like, what do these thoughts slash practices do for you? Does it make you feel better? And that's literally it. And I think that your work, like, I remember, like, when I was first getting into it, like getting into Enneagram work, like yours was like very just like so clear and so delicious and helpful. So I've loved getting to watch you blossom. Also, before, I want to talk about second book. What are we going in? What are we getting in on?
Yeah. So it's called The Enneagram Letters, and it's poems and essays to who you thought you had to be.
This is what you've been doing on your Instagram. Like, oh my God. Yeah. How dare you make me sob?
Oh, if I can make an eight cry and tell me about it, that's all that I can ask for.
Okay. Sorry. Keep going. I interrupted you.
Just like empathy letters, honestly, of just like, I feel you, I see you, and to the part of all of us that feels, I mean, because I think that's the thing with the Enneagram that I'm expanding into is, yes, we have a dominant type, but also there's some part of in all of us that feels like we have to be all of these things, you know? We all, to some degree, feel like we have to be easy to get along with and
or at least we should be. Like, I should be this way.
Yeah, or we should be. Exactly. Even if it's not like our actual coping mechanism, it is some messages. We're sent all of these messages from all corners of the earth. And so hopefully the letters and poems feel applicable to each type in a deep and connective way, but also to each of us that feels that we need to do each of these things.
I cannot wait for that. Cause your first book was also very, like, first book was the honest, or is the honest Enneagram. And that was also just a delicious treat. And now people get to have more of your good shit, Sarah Jane Case.
Thanks. I'm excited about it. I'm really, really thrilled.
I'm thrilled for you. I don't want to keep us past time. And, I'm just, thank you for hanging out with me today. Like, you're really making my whole day just real special.
Yeah, thank you for having me. This is the most fun, like, getting to go to all these steps.
It's a delicious time. Will you tell humans on the internet where they can find your work, your books, etc.?
Yeah. So if you're new to the Enneagram and you want to like read the descriptions, take a quiz or something, you can do that at my website, enneagramandcoffee.com. We have a podcast, Enneagram and Coffee. And then Instagram is my name, Sarah Jane Case. And we can hang out in any of those places.
That was my conversation with the fantastic Sarah Jane Case. If you want to follow her, please follow her across the internet at Sarah Jane Case, and also her Enneagram account, which is Enneagram and Coffee. Again, she's just a lovely friend of mine. We got to spend a little time when we were in Asheville together one time. I just remembered that, and like, it made my heart melt a little bit. So anyways, Sarah Jane, thank you so much for coming to hang out with me on the pod. I like you. I love you. I want some more of you. So go follow her. Go get her book, The Honest Enneagram, and then get ready for her second book, which apparently is coming out, you know, in the future. And if you like what you are seeing here, you can, again, become a supporting partner through Patreon. And when you join the Patreon, it's not just a way to support this podcast, but you're also helping facilitate and grow an online spiritual community called The Crowded Table, which is kind of the direction I'm taking that online space. We have monthly workshops. We have a book club going on right now. This month we're reading Mary Magdalene Revealed, which is one of the most important books I ever read when I was in college. And then on October 21st, we're going to be doing a Zoom call with the author, Megan Watterson. So if that's appealing to you, go ahead and get your book on Kindle, Audible, from your local bookstore, and then join The Crowded Table at patreon.com/thekevingarcia. Maybe I should put here. patreon.com/thekevingarcia. And then we'll click add. Boom. There it is. patreon.com/thekevingarcia. See, y'all, we're learning in real time right now how to do this thing. It's an amazing online community. The Discord channel is fire. I am absolutely just, I love these humans who are saying yes to a new way of being spiritual in the world. It's really cool. I'm just now noticing how busted my hair looks right now. I need to go run a comb through it. Anyways, who gives a shit? Who really does? Because if you're listening to this on the podcast, you're not seeing it, so it's fine. Anyways, like I said, join us for the full moon circle tonight. Join us on the second and fourth weekend of every month for the Crowded Table gatherings here on YouTube. And on Facebook too, if you're over on Facebook. What else? Am I missing anything? I think that's everything. So till next time, y'all. If you haven't already, you should go buy my book. It's called Bad Theology Kills. I have my first copy ever right here. This is like the proof copy. Ugh, we've been through it together. But I love this book so much. You can get this at badtheologykills.com. It's over on my website. That's it. That's it, everyone. I love you. Thanks for tuning in for another episode. So till next time, take your meds, call your person, eat something delicious, shake your ass a little bit, move your body in a way that feels good. And, you know, if you have trouble eating because you hate eating in the morning, sometimes a protein mix in water will do the trick. This is me telling on myself right now. Anyways, I love you all so much. Thanks for tuning in for another episode of A Tiny Revolution. See you next week. Bye.